Please take your Bibles. Let's turn to we'll try that one more time. Please take your Bibles. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And if you have been following Solomon's observations throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, you know this has been a difficult and a challenging study because it has hit so close to home. There is such a temptation that each and every one of us has that we sometimes rely upon things that we shouldn't trust in. We sometimes build our hope and our assurances in the stuff that we can gather around us. And Solomon very early on knocked out the legs of that argument as he clearly and so eloquently stated that everything is vanity. There is nothing in this world that our hands have made or that our hands place a natural value on that will ever or ever could bring a lasting satisfaction. And we have looked at his observations. This is a king looking back over the course of his reign. This is a preacher who's looking over the spiritual aspect and health of his people. And the way that he describes the world and the day in which he lives so perfectly catches our spirit today. It's because Solomon's observations really cut down to the heart of the matter. And if there's anything to be said for each and every one of us today, or those subjects in Solomon's day, it's that our hearts are broken. And that as a people, we cannot make it on our own. And that as a people, there is only one true source of hope. And his name is Jesus. Now the observations that we see in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 is now going to move beyond the observation stage as we begin to get into the practical application of those observations. And if the last few weeks have been difficult as we have been getting closer towards the end of this book, because for some of us, as we evaluate our operating system, as we operate our world, evaluate our worldview, we sometimes find that, you know what, we've got some problems that need to be ironed out. But by the grace of God and through the clear insights of the scripture, you and I do not have to live in our own strength, nor can we live in our own strength. And our worldview as followers of Jesus Christ gives us hope and comfort in times when the world is seeming to crumble down all around us. We are now getting close to the dog days of summer, if we're not already there. It feels like it. Today we're going to look at the clock that God has built into every day as a reminder to you and me about the importance of paying attention to this clock. Not building our hope and our security in the clock, but placing our hope and security in the only one who can guarantee it. But the problem that we face, as we've said time and time again, is that life really does pull us in every different directions, and all of the pressures that we face certainly do weigh heavy on our heart. And if we are not careful, we can easily get to a jaded place where we believe that if we can just survive a day, then everything is a-okay. But God has intended so much more for his people than merely surviving. And that as a follower of Jesus, we live hope-filled lives that purposely and intentionally thrive in surrender to Jesus the Son. Today, our emphasis is looking at life is full of joy. A life with full joy is not only possible, it's personal. As we look this morning, we're going to see 3 points. Wisdom for an old heart, wisdom for a young heart, and wisdom for every heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless our time together. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we come to you right now and we pray that your Holy Spirit would illumine these words. Lord, we thank you so much for the inspiration of Scripture and the inspiration that comes from living Scripture in our lives. Lord, teach us to number our days, whether our hearts are old or whether we're young at heart or whether we're young with a young heart. I pray, Lord Jesus, that the message today would not be lost, but the clear path of hope and joy that's found only in you would be seen so clearly as the preacher has given us instructions on how it is that you and I, as people of God, as followers of Christ, how that us believers should live our life seeking your glory. We ask these things in your name. Amen. We are going to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 7 and 8 as we start off, as we look at wisdom for an old heart. Now, I'm going to warn you that as we look through each and every one of these sections, you may fit into one of these categories. Having an old heart, having a young heart, and I want you to know there's something for everybody today. This is better than the buffet over at Occasions. We have got something for everyone today, and it is not by my recipe, but provided for us by the preacher. Look with me at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 7 and 8. The preacher tells us, truly, the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. And I'm looking at your face right now, and you've got that look on your face that you talked about hope and joy. And that's a pretty grim observation. He talks about remembering the darkness. Well, let's stop and just use our power of observation and consider what God presents us with each and every day. This is deep. Every day starts with sunrises and ends with sunsets. And right now, we are in the daylight. And every one of us certainly does appreciate a bright, sunny day. Remember back a few weeks ago when it seemed like the sun was never going to come out? And his chicken little cried out, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. So much rain came down. And it was so refreshing right after those storms that we had that short, sweet period of low humidity. And how pleasant it was. But now we're back into the dog days of summer, and that sun has a way of baking the ground and drying up all that moisture. And in North Carolina, we experience great humid days. But I want to remind you something. If you think that life should be nothing but sunshine, take a lesson from a desert. Deserts don't form in the dark. It's not because there's too much moonlight in a desert that causes it to dry up. It's that sun baking the ground that's received such little rain. It is that ever-present sun that never ever allows the desert to have any bit of relief. As I was reading about this and looking up about Death Valley, how that the temperature in Death Valley very easily gets up to over 120 degrees. And in the cool of the night, it could be 95 degrees in Death Valley in its most heated seasons. And I think to myself, 95 degrees. I know what that feels like in North Carolina. And that's incredibly stifling. But remember, deserts don't form in the dark. It's that sunshine that keeps shining. So take some perspective this morning and understand and realize the value of the night. Your garden grows during the night. Have you ever sat out in your garden and tried to watch your garden grow? I think it's a lot like a watched pot that never boils. It doesn't seem like your garden grows much during the course of a day. You go into the house, you go to bed, and you get up the next morning, and it's amazing to see how tall your green beans might be the next day if you're so blessed to have them come up. It's during the night that the plants process all of the energy that they built up during the day, and that energy is transferred into the plant, and the plant begins to grow during the night. You and I sleep best in the night. It's a little cooler, it's a little comfortable, but in the nighttime, you have to admit, it is scary. Things go bump in the night. And I think as far as us as believers, there's not a one of us in here, I think I can categorically say, that we would rather life be rosy and sunshiny than life be difficult and dark and dreary. But don't forget the lesson that you can learn from the dark. It's that our reassurances are forged in those dark moments. That you and I have an opportunity to see the Lord minister to us in those difficult and dark times of our life. And He does so through the working of His Holy Spirit in our heart. He does through the sweet fellowship of God's people. He does so through our friends and our family. And God ministers to us in our difficult times. So if you and I do not take any value in the night, we are missing out on learning some really large lessons in life. It's that God's blessing and God's comfort and God's grace come in those difficult and dark moments. So every day is balanced by sunshine and by darkness. And I think that's what we need to understand to appreciate what a life that has joy and a life that has hope expects. There's going to be good times, and there's going to be difficult times. It's the difficult times that make life's happy moments all the more sweeter. When you think back over the dark nights of your life, when you are in that difficult place, you can go one of two directions. You can focus on your misery. You can focus on your pain. You can focus on the feelings of alone and abandonment, or you can look for hope and live with the sweet fondness of the deliverance that's coming. Because we see, even in our Lord's story, what's coming up in just a few moments, that hope rises through the night. So please don't think that joy is something that only exists on a sunshiny day at the beach. Joy is entirely possible during the dark nights of our life. And that's because joy in sorrow is personal when Jesus is your hope. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 3, David tells us, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast known my downsitting and my uprising, Thou understanding my thoughts afar off. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. And David speaks and sings to the personal relationship with our God. And our hope in the dark nights of our life need not vanish. And our joy needs not to dry up and fade. Because our God of comfort is there in the sunshine. And He's there in the dark moments of our lives. But I think sometimes, having gone through all of that, remember, we're talking about some wisdom for an old heart. Every one of us has a tendency to think that joy is a life that doesn't know sorrow. It's a life that would be free from sorrow. But remember, if you discount those dark moments of your life, you miss the joy of comfort in the night. going back to Psalm 139, verses 11 and 12, David tells us, "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness, the light, are both alike to thee." And we serve a God that is not limited to ministering just during the daylight, but especially during the dark moments of our life. And oh, praise His name. If you and I think that a life free of sorrow is what joy looks like, well, we would certainly be failed in seeing the joy that comes with dawn's deliverance. Remember back to that Sunday morning, part of the gospel story. How that as Mary makes her way to the tomb, and as she arrives there at the scene, there early in the morning at the dawn, as the sun arises, she sees that the tomb is empty. And what had been three long, difficult days ends with such refreshing hope. And the very hope that is there for you and for me, that this life is not all there is, that Jesus has triumphed over the grave, and in the darkness of night, even though that truth seems hidden and diminished, the dawn reveals the reality of that hope. So don't think that life free of sorrow is the only life to live. God can use each and every moment of our lives to give us lasting and satisfying joy. And looking back on your life, you begin to see that every day and every moment has a necessary night. So this morning, thank God for those difficult times. Let's look now at wisdom for a young heart in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. The preacher continues, as he's speaking to children, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." And you think, okay, where is the hope and encouragement in that one? It starts off good, and then it ends up with judgment. That's like bringing out a birthday cake and telling someone, "Hey, enjoy it. This is going to be your last one. Trouble's coming." I think as older folks, we have lived enough cycles on this life that we see sunrises and sunsets. We know about the difficult times of life. But a young person lives with such optimism. And sometimes it is very tempting for us to think that, you know what? Life is something that is wasted on the young people. And so I tell everyone this morning, do your living while you're living. Do your living while you are living. Do not live your life with regrets. Take the rising opportunity if it presents itself. This might be an opportunity to go out and see the beauty of God's creation. It wasn't until I left these United States and was able to travel into other countries that I realized how good we have it here and how difficult life is in other parts of the world. My horizons were expanded through an opportunity to travel beyond my comfort zone. And for you and for me, let's do our living while we're living. Sometimes we are afraid because we think, because we're practical. And I think there's anything to be said about the optimism of youth. Surely, they have a lot of learning to do and a lot of living to do. But remember, regrets in life are the offspring of missed opportunities and poor decisions. And you think back to any regret that you have in your life, and you think, well, I wish I would have done that different, or I really bungled that one up. Living life does not mean living to experience those regrets. It's removing those regrets. As Solomon gives us the instruction that You might have seen it. Maybe you didn't. It's there in verse 9 as he tells us in the middle part, walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. Solomon says to follow the pursuits of your heart while you may. And I hope you see that asterisk up there, because there's a big understanding we need to have about following the pursuits of our heart. If you were to give children the opportunity to follow the pursuits of their heart, life and their appetite would be satisfied by nothing but cotton candy and soda pop. Am I right, Isaias? Cotton candy sounds pretty good. No, this young man eats vegetables. He shared some with me at our recent picnic. Or a vegetable, I should say. And as we look at this challenge here, I want you to understand, following the pursuits of your heart. As older folks, we probably have those moments in our life where we look back and say, you know what, I do regret that I didn't do this more. Back when my health was better, when I could do more, I just didn't do enough. And remember, young folks looking forward ahead to their life need to know that Solomon has given some instructions, follow the pursuits of your heart while you may, but remember, you're going to give an account of your life before the righteous judge, and there's the qualifier. Because if you think that sounds dangerous, telling kids to follow the pursuits of their heart, understanding the whole aspect of his message in the book of Ecclesiastes, the preacher has been saying, do not trust in the stuff, or do not chase after the stuff that will not bring you lasting happiness. But that said, if God's given you a boat, use your boat. If God's given you a motorhome, use your motorhome. Enjoy it while you can. But don't make that be what your life is all about. Don't miss an opportunity. Don't live with regrets. Because our lives are accountable to the judge that we will one day go before. In Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12, Paul tells us, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So when we're thinking about following the pursuits of your heart, know that a fool's heart doesn't know anything of real lasting joy. Solomon tells us in Proverbs 28, verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. So that asterisk that I put at the beginning of that point, to follow the pursuits of your heart while you may, is really about following with a wise heart and following God's instruction. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, Paul tells this young preacher, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And so what he does here, the preacher sets us free to follow the pursuits of our heart, so long as those pursuits are pure and faith-filled and loving and peaceful. And that's why it's important for us to get connected with the body of believers, where we can grow in our faith and grow and have instructions given to us how that God desires for us to live our life. Following God is not following a rule book. It's a relationship, and he's given us his guidance of what righteousness looks like. And I'm not talking about being legalistic. I'm talking about understanding and exploring what God wants is best for our lives. But someone who does not know the best that God has to offer certainly isn't going to enjoy all that God has to offer. So remember, for the young heart, life is just too precious to waste. One thing that I certainly do appreciate about children's ministry is that a young heart has so much early potential for discovering real joy. How many of us in here were saved as a child? Several of us. And to think about the life that you were saved from, the heartache, the hardship, and you say, well, wait a minute, life has been tough and life has been difficult, but it could have been so much worse. Because you could have been trying to find your satisfaction or trying to find your feel in something that Solomon said would never last. And a young life has so much potential for discovering real joy. And a young heart has so much opportunity to live a satisfying life. So moms and dads, I commend you for bringing your children to church. Because you're giving your children the opportunity to learn and to hear, to discover the best that God has to offer them. And every one of us knows that life experiences true and satisfying joy in Jesus. That is, those who know Jesus know that the life that he gives is far better than anything this world could offer. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul tells the church, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." And by God's grace, our lives can be free of so much pain and so much heartache if we could just live with the wisdom in our young years that the instructions that God has given us and the personal comfort of knowing the God who is intimately there and who's faithful and who protects and delivers us from evil. That's why God has built life and he's designed it that it's not intended to be lived alone. And that's why so many people live in misery in this world, is because they're trying to find their satisfaction apart from God. And as Pascal said, we pointed out several weeks ago, inside of every one of us, there is a God-shaped heart that only God can fill. And we have been built to explore the best life that God has to offer through a relationship with him. And please know this, for the young at heart, life isn't wasted when your life is dedicated to Jesus. Which leads us now to the end of the chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 10. We find some wisdom for every heart. The preacher tells us, "Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." And you say, wait a minute. There it is again, that ever-present reminder of how short life is and how fleeting youth is. I'm speaking to a room full of people who understand how quick life passes and how quick your youthful energy dries up. But the point that he's making here isn't just about pointing out how fast our life goes, but it's about dealing with our pain problems right here and right now. And that you and I can remove our pain problem today. He says in verse 10, "Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart." Life is hard. Why complicate your life by pursuing a path that's only going to lead to more heartache and emptiness? We see, seems to be a cycle that a lot of people follow. Well, I've just got to learn the hard way. I just need to make choices for myself. I know that this is what mom and dad tell me, or I know that this is what they say, but I just need to learn the hard way. But why make your life any harder? In Psalm 90, verse 10, David tells us, "The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Life is hard. And there's much hard work and much difficult moments that we will go through in this life. So why compound that anymore by living and creating pain needlessly in our life? Have you ever tried to garden with a blister on your hand? Working a tool, you work up a blister. It may be fine the first day. You don't realize that you've got the blister. But when you go back out to the garden the next day and you start to work with that hoe, as you begin to work, it hurts. That's why God designed gloves, to give us a little bit of extra protection there. But that's something that experience would tell you. Wear your gloves. But this is a greater comfort than just working with gloves. Life is hard. Don't add needless pain to it. And don't forget to count your blessings. Because I think one thing that's said about a lot of people is how bitter and how negative people are. Thinking about the way things used to be versus the way things are right now. And so many people live with unhappiness and they live a dissatisfied life. Because they fail to see all that God has given. All they see is just the one thing that they focused on. They failed to see the bigger picture of everything that God does for us each and every moment. And you know what? I'd like to demonstrate for you something that God is doing for you right now.
Really?
Yes, watch. I saw it. Some of you just took a breath. And that last heartbeat that he gave you is his grace to us, even in small ways. And you say, how is taking a breath or having a heartbeat God's grace to me? It's God's gift to you. And when you and I can get to that place where we can see the unboundless blessings of God, our sorrow turns to joy. So don't add pain to your life, because life is hard. Don't forget to count your blessings. And don't add pain to your life, because life is short. In Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And life is too short to live with misery and pain and agony that we brought upon ourselves. Why in the world would we need to endure hardship by our own hands when we could simply trust and follow God's path and design for us? Now, I want to state this, that even the righteous experience hardship and difficulty. I'm talking about people who decide to compound that by holding on to the bitterness, holding on to the heartache, holding on to the sorrow. And rather than learn in the crisis, they shut down and focus on the crisis alone. And because life is so short, don't underestimate the value of your health. If you had a hard time sitting in that pew this morning, because as you were going down, it didn't feel so good, or as you were getting up, it didn't feel so good, you could probably come up here and speak to this a lot better than I can. I mean, it was difficult to get up out of the seat. Someone said to me yesterday, wow, the way you lit off those stairs, I remember when I used to could do that. And I didn't even think about it. And I didn't flaunt it. I was just in a hurry. But I didn't even take a mind to think about, hey, that was a blessing, just being able to come down the steps as quickly as I, and without even thinking about it. Don't underestimate the value of your health. And that's where he's going with this, is how you and I can remove the sorrow from our lives by taking care of the problems in our hearts and taking care of our bodies. That's there in verse 10. Let's not add sorrow to our life also, because life is good. Something that I need to say, because it's something that a lot of people forget, is losing our optimism in life. Because we know about the heart parts of life. And we know about all of those, the bunions and the calluses and the corns that come with living life here under the sun. And as God's people who've been so richly blessed with eternal life in His Son, don't let your physical discomfort rob you of the joy in your heart that He's given to us in His Son. And don't lose your optimism. If you think the best days were the bygone days, I'm speaking to you. The better days are ahead. So live with hope and find your hope in the day star. In Psalm 90, verses 14 through 15, David tells us, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that may we may rejoice and be glad in all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Oh, how in the world do you keep comforting people when you talk about the difficult times that God has brought into our lives? I want to show you something. I've got an illustration planned here that I hope that you'll be able to see, and I hope that will make sense to you. But think of it this way. Considering the day and the night, you know, the sunshine and the dark nights of life, if our lives are focused solely on the dark times, about how hard life is, about how miserable life is, we become cynical in our life, and our outlook, our optimism dries away, and we just become angry and bitter people. And I'd like to demonstrate for you what life like that looks like when it's nothing but just the darkness and just the dark shadows of life. I've got something up here, and you may not be able to see it very well. Maybe you can make out what it is. It looks very violent. This is a photograph that has had all of the highlights taken out of it. It's just the contrasts. I don't know if you see the picture there. But this is life out of balance. This is not the picture that was the moment that was captured. This wasn't the moment that God had provided. This is just looking at life, considering only the dark times and about how miserable life is. But on the other hand, if you're only focusing on the good times, because I know so many people that are driven for pleasure and are driven for just trying to find a good feeling right now that fleets. If you're just trying to live for the good moments of life, I think we all agree that life is pretty shallow when we just try to pursue pleasure. It's a shallow life. When we take away all of the dark spots of life, this is what the image looks like. These are all the highlights there in the picture. You say, it's mostly white, I can't tell anything there. There's no contrast. But when you bring in the balance of the dark and the light, that we find life is balanced with those contrasting highlights in dark shadows. So let's thank God for the sweet moments and the dark, difficult times of life. Because it's when God stitches those two together in our life that we are able to see the beauty of a sunrise at the beach. When I said beach earlier, I think some of you had already packed up and went there in your mind. I'm telling you, my heart is there too. In this sunrise that was captured there on the water, I remember that particular moment when I took that photo and seeing something that each and every one of us takes for granted each and every day. The beauty of a sunrise, and maybe because it's commonplace, maybe because it happens every day and we've seen plenty of them, or watching the beauty of a sunset and seeing the way the world goes to sleep at night. Living a simpler life is what we've been afforded these last few weeks. But have you been able to see the beauty of the sunrise, or have you only been thinking about the difficult darkness or hoping for the shallow, happy moments? Now, I want to be careful because I've been talking about joy and I just said happy. And I'd like to explain to you that happy is an emotion. We've been speaking about real joy, real satisfying joy that's found only in Jesus. And for each and every one of us that walks with Him and serves Him in our life, we know that in those difficult moments, He's there. And in those happy moments, He's there. And we certainly do ask Him for more of those happy moments than we do those difficult moments. But unless you have both, you don't see the whole ministry of what He does for us day in and day out. And looking back at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 10, we find hope that we do not have to live lives in distress. He says, therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. We do not have to live lives filled with distress because we don't put our hope and our security in stuff that crumbles and falls away, but is the ever constant day star, our Savior, so our hearts can be free of distress. And we take that distress and we cast it upon Him and we give it to Him, and He gives us lasting joy. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, Paul tells the church, "Be careful of nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." And I don't know about you, but life is too hard and life is too short and life is too good to live life holding on to the bitterness and the heartache of the bygone days. And this morning, I want to cling to His peace and to His grace and to the hope that only He can give. So there is some heart work that can be done. And it's a miracle working of how His Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit does the convicting, and as we surrender that hurt and that harm, God gives us the peace and deliverance. And I think a lot of times, sometimes we try to deal with our problems with our hands tied behind our back or our fingers crossed. Like, I'm going to give it all up, but not all of it. So that I can pick it back up and go back to it because it's a good old friend. It's a well-worn path. But let go of the distresses of your life, whatever the stressor is, and enjoy fully the life that God has given us. And just as the warning there for the young man, the young heart, to go out and follow the desires of his heart, you and I understand that if you and I live in our following our own natural desires, our bodies are going to take a beating for it. And we can spare our bodies the miserable pain of evil living when we will get our heart right and follow God's path of righteousness. Well, nobody told me that if I drank that much that I'd be this sick. God's best from your life doesn't come in a bottle, whether that be a liquid or a pill. It's in a person, and His name is Jesus. And life, and a life filled with joy, is not only personal or possible, it's personal. So don't spend your life looking for hope in the wrong places. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. Remember, life is with full joy is both possible and personal. Here's our response. Surrender it now. You don't have to carry that weight or that burden any longer. Remember, youth is fleeting, and time quickly passes. So don't wait for the last minute to deal with a problem that you can deal with right now. And dealing with it is giving it over to God. And He'll take that burden, and He'll remove that load. And you don't have to help Him in carrying that load any longer. He's got it. And explore the joy of what He has to offer. And I think it's high time that as followers of Jesus, people don't associate with us that phrase, grumpy old man or grumpy old woman, grumpy old Christian, that our lives should really shine forth glory and joy of the Lord. So surrender it now. But remember, there's always time for course correction, but don't wait to the last minute. For the young person, I'm just telling you how God works. He offers you and invites you to come to Him. And you can turn from the foolishness. You can turn to Him right now, so don't wait for the last minute. The grace of our God is so generous and so beautiful and so joy-filling. Why would we choose anything less than God's best for our lives? This message is really about sanctified living. And that's because we've knocked away our dependence upon the stuff that discourages and distracts us. And for anybody who's listening today that does not know, only Jesus can give you a new heart to live a life of real, lasting joy. And if you're a child of God, you've got the equipment there that He's given you. Just sometimes we let that equipment get bogged down with the pressures and the difficulties and the darkness of our lives. So let's close with this. May this be our prayer. Lord, lead my heart to your joy throughout every day in the bright sunshine and the dark night. Miss Patsy, could you come at this time as we stand to sing more about Jesus? I'm going to invite you, wherever you're at, to take a moment and to count your blessings, to take a moment and count your criticisms. And if your criticisms are greater than your blessings, well, this message was for you. You know what to do. But maybe you're here and you're in a dark place and you're feeling alone. Talk to God. Allow Him to minister to you. Allow Him to use your church family to share good news and hope and love and grace. Life is too short. Life is too hard. And life is too good to let another moment waste.